Coming up on Roundabout, plastic is a part of just about every product on the market today, but one guy is fixing to use it somewhere it's never gone before. An automotive legend is putting his name on some very unlikely vehicles, and someone's destroyed their brand new Chevy Camaro, but made it a whole lot better in the process. Find out how right after this. Roundabout is sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get up to $30 off your next purchase. And by Tire Rack. Follow the link on our website to save up to $80.
In Irvine, California, from Auto by Tell, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
In the Roundabout Studios, from The Virtual Driver, I'm Christopher Sawyer.
I'm Eric Tritko from Rumblestrip.net.
From the Autoline family of fine programs, I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode number 82, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are again, sacrificing another Friday evening at the altar of Roundabout for your listening enjoyment. And Ben, I've got to say, that is a very catchy tune you have dug up.
Oh, why, thanks.
I just realized that after 82 episodes.
It's,
could I get a copy to put on my Microsoft Zune?
I'll give you two.
Really? But that'd be piracy. We can't
have
do that.
To pay you twice.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
Well,
I thought it was rights free.
You never know these days. If you go on the internet, I understand it is. You know, you can. There's a virtual store or something.
Everything's free.
Called
the
Pirate Valley.
The Pirate Cove.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you can go there, and I understand that people will allow you access to things. The way I understand it works, the tubes are all directed around and they can funnel the contents to certain places.
It's a series of tubes!
This Intermonet stuff is really...
Have those tubes been tied yet?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Tubes have been tied.
Department of Justice gets its hands on things, yeah.
Exactly.
So, well, speaking of getting your hands on things and screwing things up with, you know, legal regards, our theme this week is taking a stand, standing up and fighting for what's right.
Oh, damn it. I'm too tired to fight.
Well, have another bag of Utz chips or Utz, whatever it is.
Speaking of fighting for your rights, have you seen the new Beastie Boys video?
For your rights to party?
They've got,
I can't think, Will Ferrell, the guy who played, like, Frodo, the Hobbit, and like two other people, and they dress up to look like the Beastie Boys from the 80s. And it's pretty cool. Like, you look for a while, and you're like, wow. And then there's a couple close-up shots, and you go, oh, okay, that's not them. And, like, they look pretty young for being in their, like, 40s and 50s. And at the end, this DeLorean comes in, and they all come out of the DeLorean. It's an awesome – the song's pretty good, but the video is truly, truly well done.
That's awesome, yeah. So we've got, as always, just – an all-star lineup of panelists joining us this week, and our special guest is none other than Mr. Chris Sawyer. This is your multiple-ith time returning.
Yes, multiple-ith.
Of internet fame, I understand.
Yes, but usually on the FBI list.
Oh. were you caught by that Catch a Predator guy? What's his name? I can't remember.
Oh. Chris Matthews?
Yes.
No,
were you hanging out at the middle school again, Chris?
Chris?
It's okay if you were.
Yeah, it was some other Chris, but it was, yeah.
It's already public knowledge if you were. So
No. I'm not on that website. Besides that there was a great South Park episode when they did that one. Oh, no, it's him.
So we appreciate you bringing your bucket loads of expertise. And
oh, it's a bucket load.
Bucket loads and, you know, decade after decade after decade of experience covering this industry.
Decade after decade. It is almost 30 years.
Decade after decade.
How old is he?
Well, Michelle, he was covering this business during the Depression, I think.
I'll be 53 in August.
Oh, dear.
I'm almost as old as my teeth.
Jonathan Winters is on the show, ladies and gentlemen.
My frickert.
What was the auto business like during the Great Depression?
Oh, it was fun. Nobody was doing nothing. We were
easy street.
Trying to work our way out of this bad, bad hole we were in. Car companies were going right and left, sort of like Chrysler and GM. And we just had a fun time.
In the Hooverville, right?
In Hooverville, yes.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, not the vacuum cleaner either.
No.
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 Well, Mr. Sawyer, you've got our first story in the rundown here, and this was a certain gentleman that was recently apprehended of sorts.
If you can call killed apprehended.
That was trying to be...
Double tapped, I think, is the proper term. Yeah.
One between the eyes, one in the chest.
That's right. That's
well, right. You got to do it right.
Sorry, knock twice.
By the way, that was the most epic tweet. Did you see that one?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a tweet. Like, someone has a joke, Osama bin Laden thing.
Right.
And it said... Hold on, someone's at the door. I'll be right back.
and the person who tweeted it was a retweet, right? And wasn't it U.S. Navy SEALs?
Yeah. It was. That came up, and I was like, oh yeah, that was the best.
And I, you know, and he just wasn't listening to that Tony Orlando song not three times.
So a certain gentleman was recently passed.
Mr. Bin Laden, as you know, it's funny. They do call it wet work. Now he is wet, isn't he? But anyway, he rejected a plan.
But he was standing up for his right to kill.
Well, exactly. His right
to maim.
To kill the infidels, which is
– But within reason. Let's not get out of hand.
I don't know. I think he wanted to kill us all. Except for all of the women who were in the porn that they just found in his stack of stuff this morning. But anyway.
Well,
in fact, the thing that was really funny about that.
Either that or she fell out of her chair.
Michelle fell out of her chair. Oh, my God.
That's the problem with those ball chairs.
That's right.
And whiskey. So, Chris. She missed it.
He wanted.
That's for the better.
Al-Qaeda.
Is that like Al Vinokur?
No, it's sort of like Al Jazeera Mitsubishi in New Jersey, but it's they wanted to create trucks that would mow down civilians. You know, I mean, it seems like such a stunningly bizarre plan when you consider that all they have to do is get the mailing list for the AARP and sign those people up. They're already
driving through markets,
down.
Right?
Exactly.
And crashing into coffee shops.
They can't figure out which is the throttle and which is the brake to begin with.
Well, if they had a clutch, it would just be total pandemonium.
But the problem was they couldn't get them because they wanted it to be trucks. And these people invariably are mowing down folks in 87 to 92 Cadillac DeVilles. And I'm sorry. It just proves that Al-Qaeda is not terribly bright. You've got to get an old rear drive big ass American
body on
car,
front.
Body on front.
Fly under the radar, first
exactly.
of all.
Exactly. No one will expect you to be
75 Impala.
Oh, no, that would be a good one. And, you know, and you could get even better. You could put the spinner hubcaps on it, you mm-hmm. know, so that you could at least do some damage while you're at it.
So, okay, let's go around the horn here. What – they were talking about adding certain implements to these vehicles to as a multiplier, as you were.
Force multiplier.
Exactly. So what are some attachments, accoutrements you guys would – affix to the front of a vehicle as to do maximum damage. If you were plowing through, let's say, a farmer's market on a busy Saturday.
Simple. Two-stage snow thrower. Or one of those DR chipper shredders.
Oh, God.
As long as it's a Steve Buscemi edition from...
Eric, you've got anything?
I was like a wheat thrasher, you know, like an old-style wheat thrasher thing attached.
Or scythes.
Yeah.
Those would be good, too.
Oh,
yeah. You know, just cut people off. It'd cut me off of the knees, I guess.
All of a sudden, I'm thinking I'm inspired by, like, death race vehicles.
Ooh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking original Death Race 2000.
Oh, now there's a classic.
Those things, those spikes that would come out of the hubs?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you, Michelle? I mean, you've got to have some favorite torture devices.
Well, I would think, you know, if you're an OCD kind of evil, then maybe you want to try to keep things clean. So one of those front bag catchers, right? Like on the Husqvarna ones.
So the chipper, the shredder back with the bin on the back or something.
So you want to be environmental about it and clean
well,
up
she's going to compost.
Exactly.
Well, at this point, don't you just get a combine or something? I mean, seriously, if you really want to do maximum damage.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just get a big combine.
Especially when you've got those triangular things in the front that are just bringing people right
exactly.
into the
slicer
shredding
mechanism.
Part. Exactly.
Yeah. What about a hay baler, maybe, so it's easy to stack?
Exactly.
This is taking a turn for the worse.
Tie them up in twine.
Yeah, nice and
put
tiny.
Put them at the side of the road.
So they were considering doing this legitimately.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've been
but
looking
they didn't.
At, thank God for that. I mean, but think Wouldn't of it this a, way. It actually might have been a good thing in that it would have been a way to get truck sales going again.
Or that it would have been a way to find the terrorist, somebody driving over the truck with a bunch of crap welded on it.
Exactly. Pull them over for it. I'm sorry, sir. You cannot have those lights underneath the car. No.
But they didn't do it.
No.
Why was that?
I think, quite honestly, somebody just said, what are we, crazy? it becomes a little
pushing it a little too far, too,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and it's, you know, and people death. Would see you coming, you know, but especially
it's death to the infidels, but in moderation.
It's exactly.
It's just easier to strap 5 pounds of C4 around your chest and walk into a mall.
Much easier, and you don't have to do that whole thing from Animal House of driving down the road with the parade float, and it suddenly breaks open and becomes the Deathmobile and, you know, has Bite Me on the side of it. I mean, people would probably be put off by the Arabic lettering going, what's that? Uh-huh.
Looks like scribbles. Yeah. Well, standing up for your right to use plastic, Eric, there's a gentleman that is doing just that.
Different note.
Shifting gears.
Well, we're not using the clutch.
Yeah.
What's that?
I have 2 feet. There are 3 pedals. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
It's not working.
You're asking me to do too much.
Right. So
is this just a bunch of muckety muck from those Washington and Hightower dwellers with their lily white hands?
Well, what's funny is what's old is new again, because I remember being in seventh grade in 1982, I think. And on the cover, not in this particular link you have, but in one that was on the auto blogs this week, it had the cover of the Popular Science or whatever, and it showed the yellow plastic engine that was originally designed in the late 70s, early 80s, based off a Pinto engine that was all plastic, and I think they used ceramic liners or something in it. And it ran and made power, and it was kind of cool.
And vibrated itself apart.
No, actually,
no, it was pretty solid.
It stayed together, but if I remember
Melted.
Correctly. No.
No.
There was it was called the poly motor, I think.
Something like yeah, that, yeah. And
did it have a parrot on the side?
No.
Well, it was.
Poly was the motor, yeah.
It was yellow.
Yeah.
It was yellow.
Yeah. But if I remember correctly, it was an awful lot lighter. Mm-hmm. But they had cooling problems
yep.
because they hadn't planned on the fact that plastic changes its size of the openings when it gets hot.
Yes. Yeah, how do you deal with thermal expansion? Because plastic kind of grows a lot. There's got to be a big
Anybody
tolerance.
Anybody who left that plastic fork in the dishwasher knows what happens there.
Gets arthritis on the tines.
Exactly.
But, I mean, you know, in the early 80s, similar today, gas prices were very high and – everyone thought oil was going to run out tomorrow, and the economy was in the crapper. And wow,
deja vu.
Yeah, like, wow.
The only thing missing is that peanut farmer who was the president. Well,
yeah, and he was the only one who had it. And I remember Jimmy Carter being president. Very, very few good things to say about it, even though I was about 6 at the time. But it's amazing. The one
he
good idea.
He probably had horrible things to say when he was 6. Eric,
but the
say?
One good idea he had, which was like a competent energy policy looking forward.
That wouldn't be an American.
Yeah, I know.
Freedom is American. That's
planning
why.
Forward, before
I know.
Planning.
Anyway, no, so. Back to the topic at hand. So anyways,
fiber.
Where everyone's trying to save weight on cars and vehicles and try to cut weight out, this idea has come back about engine blocks. And, well, certainly aluminum is better than cast iron of weight, although it's 3 times more expensive. So we're looking at, well, how can we make it lighter? Well, they're coming away with merging now, especially with modern chemistry and what you can do with carbon fiber and plastics and other polymers, a way of solving some of the problems in the 80s with the expansion. With coming up with a plastic-ish engine block that is I think they said 18 to 20 pounds lighter than the Ford Duratec all aluminum. Which
that's not much of a say, but for race applications, I would understand. Yes, but for like a streetcar, big deal. Okay, maybe a Miata could benefit.
Well, no, actually,
20 pounds.
The multiplier at that point, especially for an engine and transmission unit, is for every pound you would take out of there, you could probably take another 2 pounds out of the structure itself.
Yep.
Okay.
Just think about what Hyundai was able to do with the Sonata, Kia Optima.
Mm-hmm.
By only having a 4-cylinder, they were probably able to take 150 to 200 pounds out of the car.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
same kind of concept. There's only one small problem with this
Let
at this
guess.
Point.
It's really pricey.
Just a bit. Where's the number down here? It would say $2,500 a pound in savings. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that's like a one-off or two-off thing. When mm-hmm. when you start producing 100,000, obviously,
yeah, we get that down to at least 1,500.
But if you're into racing and you see the difference, like if I wanted to buy a small block Ford engine block for either the 302 or 351, mm-hmm. if I wanted the cast iron one, it's about $2,200 to $2,400 for cast iron.
Modular.
No. If you wanted the aluminum version of that, it's just shy of $5,000.
Right.
So. This and one, you know,
when you think of the fact that when I was on a Ford program and the chief engineer on the new 5-liter told me that a friend of mine who is an engineer for a specialty manufacturer and needs a new motor for the car says, "Oh yeah, we'll sell him that and the transmission for $7,000." You start to say, "God, that's cheap."
Mm-hmm. For the new 5.0?
The new 5.0.
Yeah, that's a great engine, though.
Yeah.
Why so
oh,
cheap?
Yeah, the new one is good. You can buy out of the Ford catalog at MSRP. Their MSRP is $6,500 for the for the Coyote 5.0 motor. If you want the engine harness, it's another $1,000. They get a bit of a premium for the Boss engine, though.
Well, yeah. They've CNC'd done,
you know, heads, different valves, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, see, the thing, though, is that the head, that's not
$800 of CNC. And even the Boss motor and what it went into it, and the race motors that you can get, then you look at this thing and you go, we got a little work to do here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and it's good, not, cool it's idea. Not, I mean, cool idea, I like but, it, but it's
but
like,
I always the thing I always thought was funny about Matty Holzberger and the plastic motor was that the plastic is made out of oil. So if we're running out of oil, which I don't think we are anyway, but let's say we are, we're going to make an engine out of oil to save oil.
Well, it's not entirely oil. Let's forget we've got this does
true,
have metal parts in there
old,
for
the old,
crankcase
old,
to support.
The old Johnson administration, we had to destroy the village to save it sort of idea. So
yes.
Well, fascinating. We'll see where this goes in the next 50 years. but it seems a little pie in the sky right now, especially at $2,500 a pound. So.
Yeah, and well, you know,
I'll take aluminum.
Like,
thank
it's like
you.
They said in that famous 1969 movie, Plastics. It's the future.
Exactly.
I like how their list, though, of the milestones of plastic history changed completely to be about company in 1990.
It's all about writing history to suit yourself.
Exactly.
Well, standing up for your right to have bad taste, Autoholics, powered by Car Domain, says so right there on my screen, a gentleman acquired himself a new Chevrolet, presumably to see the USA in, but a new Camaro, and he proceeded to, in my opinion, ruin the car by rat-rotting it.
Why?
Why did he do that?
Why?
Why is anything?
I've never much understood rat rods in the first place. I mean,
well, see, I dig
a cobbled together collection.
Some of them are
sundry miscellaneous.
It's sort of a response to the full chip foos. I just paid $1 million for this car, and now I can't drive it.
Yes,
But some of them are like, what the hell? Were you on an acid trip and you did that?
This
thing?
Is true.
So the guy sanded through the paint till it rusted in many spots. Gave it this awful weathered look, kicked in the grill, and made the car look like ass, basically. But he did upgrade the engine. It's got 1,000 horsepower.
Okay, so he did the full East LA on it, is what you're saying.
I guess. Michelle, you're out in that sort of neck of the woods, as it were. Are you a fan of this Camaro? I know how you love the Camaro.
Unfortunately, it's starting to look like my Z3 looks right now.
Haven't got that fixed yet?
No, it goes in Monday.
Hmm. So would you?
Yeah, this is weird to me. I mean, because rust is not reversible, right?
There's a lot of guys at Eastwood who'd say otherwise.
Yes,
they made a
fortune. On
it's a $100 million company based on
exactly.
I suppose if
it's
you got it, if you got
cars,
it, if
right?
you got
cancer
it
for cars,
if you got it to a certain point, you could put
Eastwood chemotherapy. Yeah.
You could put a matte clear on it to kind of neutralize everything. So,
but Michelle, design wise,
it still looks like a Camaro. Actually, it's probably the best part.
So he didn't go far enough, you're saying. He should have gone further.
They should have burned it through, you know, just...
Yeah. So really, the
that's what it made it look better. They should have poured gas on it,
lit a flame thinner,
and then had it. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Give it the full. My team just won the Super Bowl treatment.
Exactly.
The Lord made all kinds of folks.
Yes.
So 1,000 horsepower Camaro, that looks like ass. Not gonna lie.
Land of the free and the home of
And
the...
if you want to check this out, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. Well, hit the link in the show notes.
That's why some people like Norman Rockwell and some people like Jason Pollock.
Sure. Jackson Pollock.
Jackson Pollock. Jason
Pollock. Jason Pollock sounds like someone who wears a hockey mask. Yeah, yeah. Actually, it'd be pretty neat.
While playing B-rolls in A-movies.
There you go.
Kevin Pollock.
So that guy is standing up for his right to be crazy, I would say. That was recorded, Chris. So. But some folks over in a certain kingdom in the Middle East are also attempting a small insurrection, as it were, standing up for their right to drive. And frankly, it might be a good idea that Saudi Arabia bans women from driving. Would you agree, Chris? Michelle is speechless.
My foot is much too big to fit in my mouth that deeply. No.
But Michelle, we gave you this article here to present for us. What is going on in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia?
Well, apparently there's a lot of harlots running around.
What?
Yeah, they're out, you know, doing what they're not supposed to do. They're driving. They're starting this sort of protest against the Sunni, I don't know how it's Wahhabi, but I always think it's Wasabi Sunni sect of Islam, where they are not allowed to drive. And their fear of, you know, the cleric's fear, if these women get out to drive, that they're going to, it's doing them harm because they're risk mixing with men they aren't related to, such as mechanics and gas station attendants.
That was the line I liked.
Women will get used to leaving their homes at will, Al Nujaimi said. Wow.
Nujaimi.
Nujaimi? Shut up.
We're not allowed to leave your home, Michelle.
I mean, come on. This, after all, is a sect of Islam that says that if you're raped, you have to have four witnesses to say that you didn't bring it on yourself.
Right.
Now, what I'm wondering about is who is the guy who figured out that four guys would be standing around watching this?
Jeez. So is this popular revolution going to catch on, or is it going to be beheaded, as it were?
Well I don't think it can, because they're forbidden from having driver's license in the country. The only people that are allowed – that are trying this are the ones who have international driver's licenses.
Licenses?
So and I guess it's – they've tried this before, especially during the first Gulf War, when they saw women army soldiers driving, you know, around during the war. And at that time, the women that tried driving, you know, lost their jobs. I love this one. They lost their jobs for 2.5 years.
Well, it's a suitable punishment, isn't it?
No, what does that mean? Like, okay, after 2.5 years, you can have your job back?
Sure. They probably worked out of the home.
Is your job as a vassal? I mean, it's a little bizarre. Yeah.
And they were banned from travel for a year and condemned by powerful clergy as harlots.
For driving? This is absurd.
Well, you have to understand that they don't understand that it's not 1287 anymore.
Yeah.
Well, or at least a portion of the populace. Well,
now, I'm all for tradition and, you know, history. Those sorts of things, but this is just totally foreign to me. I refuse to accept it.
The real problem is that they're worried that the horns on the women's cars are all going to go, la, 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 la.
Oh, God.
So my aunt dude story. Used to live in Saudi Arabia.
Did you just say aunt dude?
Yes.
Her name was Aunt Dude.
I had a Grandma Gussie, Aunt Dude, and Uncle Bus.
Remember, this is New Mexico.
And you're not from Kentucky.
Yeah, they were from Texas, but...
Oh, well, okay.
Same thing.
Can Texas.
Yeah. Anyway, Aunt Doody used to live in Saudi Arabia, and she couldn't. She had to have a driver, and she had to have her arms and legs covered all the time.
My in the 70s, when the oil industry was going well. My father, who was an X-ray technician, got offered a job in Saudi Arabia for like five times what he was making in the U.S. Yeah. Well, and he was going to take it, and I'm like, okay, you know, I get to spend the summers in Saudi Arabia and whatever, right?
To do there.
It's hot here.
Well, you know, it's like the reason they didn't go, he didn't take the job, is because
he was an alcoholic.
No. No. My stepmother, his wife at the time, found out she was going to have to – didn't matter. Anytime they left the campus area or whatever, compound area, she would have to walk behind him, and she was not going to be for that. She said, no, I won't do that.
Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, come on, honey.
Yeah, it's not going to – yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be that bad. Look at all the money we make.
Exactly. Nope, didn't happen. That was really the only reason that he didn't take the job.
And when we get back to the U.S., I'll let you walk in front of me for a year. Yeah.
So, Michelle, the article says, which is coming to us from Bloomberg, that the women are trying to do some sort of popular social media revolution. Are you helping spread the word on Facebook and Twitter to all of your
followers? Absolutely. I'm on the Facebooks, you know.
There's more
running
than one
their fan pages.
Okay. Waiting for those to get banned when they cut the internet to Saudi Arabia. So we'll see.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, hopefully those women can get out, you know, and drive a little bit. It'd be nice for them, I think, to enjoy at least one freedom.
Yeah, one.
So. And there's something nice about having someone drive you, though.
Well, yes. I mean, when you have the opportunity to drive yourself and someone does it for you, that's one thing.
When you don't have
the opportunity to drive yourself, and you're looking at that person going, "I want to do this," and you can't.
Yeah,
that's a little different.
So, well, we wish them the best. We'll see what happens. Standing up for freedom, I guess, taking the stand. Chrysler, Ram trucks, new tagline, Chris.
Guts.
Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch journalism. Word association, go.
Guts, glory,
profit.
Next story.
You said Rupert Murdoch journalism. So, you know, much like Arianna Huffington. Yep.
Yeah, no, but with Arianna Huffington, it's, I'm sorry, 300 of you have to go because I'm not giving up any of this money. No, Guts, Glory, Ram doesn't quite do it. Although it does go back to that Osama bin Laden truck. It would sort of fit with that. Or even if you're a woman in Saudi Arabia and wanted to drive, Guts, Glory, Ram the Mullahs would probably work better than this whole thing. I think Eric was right.
Michelle Gafford.
I think Eric was right in saying that Guts, Glory, Jeep makes more sense.
Yes.
And in doing the whole patent thing behind it. But Guts, Glory, Ram, I don't know. That's a reach.
What
that's
about Chevy Runs Deep?
So other things that we can't mention, but I don't understand that tagline.
Makes more sense to me.
It does. You know, that's sort of like it runs in your vein. It's deep in the family, that sort of stuff. Guts, Glory, Ram is like, well, that was we had three of them. We couldn't agree on the other two. This one, we'll go with that. I think it's the first dud that they've come out since Fiat has stepped into.
Was it a mistake breaking Ram off from Dodge?
No, I don't think so, quite honestly, because I understood what they were doing there in that they didn't want – they wanted Dodge to become more tied into the automotive side.
So they can get away from the styling too?
Well
– that boxy crosshair.
Somewhat, but also part of it was to get the cars away from the truck styling. And Calibra. And the other part of it was also that this allowed them to separate the marketing money. And so now the trucks could go out and do their own marketing. And unfortunately, this is what they came up with.
Well, what if they came up with bold moves?
I think what it is, there's five because there's one for each little point on the pentastar.
You're thinking graphically.
Yes.
Is that an upside
I think
down
that's about all there is.
The pentagram, pentastar, I'm not sure. So. Yes, you were going to ask a question there.
I was going to say we're done with this. What else is there to say?
I think it's cooked, quite honestly, yes.
It's, yeah,
we don't want to reinvent the tagline.
Here's one. Bold moves. Oh, wait. That's also shit.
Mark it, Ben.
Any other suggestions? What should Dodge's take? Well, get in chat room or commenters. Leave a post on our website, roundaboutshow.com.
Well, like, they've got Rams. How about this? Glory Ram, but it seems like it should be RR Ram. Like three R's.
Or,
you know?
Or how about
reading, writing, Ram.
Ram.
Screw arithmetic.
You know, the one thing that they have is their quality problem. Well, their quality image is not good. I mean, my future sister-in-law is on her second Ram, each of which has gone over 150,000 miles towing horse trailers. Uh-huh. She loves them.
Why?
Because
better than comparable Chevrolet or Ford.
Oh, she hates the Ford. Actually, I take that back. She hates the Chevy. She wanted the Ford.
Too expensive.
She thought the Ford interior was cheap and made of too many pieces, and this killed me. It was too much like a car. She wants something that's more – if it's a truck, it's
with guts, a truck. Really.
Right. And if you're going to do that, then why not Ram? It works.
Well, the thing is that Chevy did the same thing. Ram. Mm-hmm. You have a tagline to me as universal, Ram tough. Right.
Absolutely.
Chevy had like a rock. And I'm sorry. Okay. So you don't want to pay Bob Seger his royalty money. Fine.
Or
you
people are sitting there after 12 years going, stop.
Yeah. there's that too. But I'm like a rock.
When
Prudential, and then you need the Rock of Gibraltar. Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, it's like
– the built Ford Tough. How long has that been around?
It works. Don't screw with what works.
Exactly.
Guts, and truck people aren't – I want to say they're not the most progressive, but they like stability. You know, they're not looking for to be edgy. They just want, you know.
Exactly. I
mean, they want something that's
solid. They hear that there's
solid.
A new tagline. A lot of them are going to be taking out their 401k money and buying gold because the world's coming to an end.
Naranjo, you got a tagline suggestion that Ram should adopt?
Well, they could – if it was just G – I like your idea of patterning, Ben, but just one G, so it was grr.
Grr.
Graham.
Grr.
Graham crackers.
No, better. Wrong Graham animals. You've got the wrong animal, so it should be meh. Ram.
Okay. Rams don't growl, do they?
No. But if you did that, then vinegar would be there in a minute.
you could say, get yourself a Ram, EWE. Moving along. Yes. Next story. People are sitting down for their right to buy a domestic car in San Francisco. They're not taking a stand because the last Detroit 3 auto dealer in the city closed. And Eric, I thought this might be a lightning rod issue that you might appreciate commenting on. The last domestic car dealership just closed in San Francisco, Ford Lincoln Mercury, and there are no more left in the 47.6 square miles of the city.
Well, it turns out San Francisco is one of the least business-friendly cities in the United States, so much so that they tax you on your stock options.
What?
Yes. They tax you on stock options, and there are about half of the tech companies that are based in San Francisco are either planning on leaving or in the process of leaving, and the city council had to pass an emergency measure to for like Twitter and like two other companies so they wouldn't leave the city.
Oh, sort of like those opt-outs from Obamacare, right?
Yeah.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was not surprised that – Something else leaves.
Another one bit the dust.
Plus,
they have like sales tax. That's actually they have three different sales taxes there.
Yeah.
They have state, county,
local,
municipal, school.
Oh wait, sales no wait. Maybe tax. It's four because there's one that specifically just is for the
BART.
Yes.
BART.
And also the fact that. More than LA, less domestic cars are sold in like the Bay Area than anywhere else. And
oh, there's a surprise.
Yeah, I know.
they seem to think that Audis come with Perrier and the radiators.
Yeah, or BMWs.
Yes. Oh God.
Yeah. Sad, but somewhat not surprising. Having spent enough time in that area and having friends in the area,
it would be a great advertising campaign. Our cars aren't obnoxious enough for San Francisco.
Our cars aren't douchey enough for San Francisco.
Oh, Michelle, he's smack talking your city there.
San Francisco?
You're a big San Franciscanite, I know.
Right.
Siskinite.
I live like 7 hours away from San Francisco.
Well, it's California. It's close enough for Craig.
That's like saying we're all Youpers.
Yeah. San Francisco nights.
I know.
Whatever.
Yeah, so Escanaba into moonlight.
So if you're in the Frisco area, I guess you got to go elsewhere.
Where?
Well, it was often said that if you wanted to drive the most exclusive car in Newport Beach, you would have a Crown Victoria, non-police
edition. Absolutely true. This is my office is on MacArthur Boulevard, which goes straight down into Newport Beach, and so I see an R8 drive by today and a Maserati, and it's the land of the least.
The land of the least. That's funny. I like that.
I like that.
So you go by the La Brea tar pits?
Tar is a precious natural resource that we need to harness for fuel.
Well, the slee stacks are different here.
Well, moving along, a certain Hollywood celebrity is standing up for his right to have an obnoxiously large trailer in Manhattan, Eric.
Yes, so
brave. Turning the city into a trailer park.
Very brave, yes. Mm. So Will Smith has had this for a number of years now. What has happened is he took basically a 53-foot trailer from a tractor trailer. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't, but a guy who owns a company and converted it into the ultimate two-story motorhome.
It's a double-decker bus.
Yes. So, and these are, like $2 million, which, yes, that's a lot of money. But if you look at some of the high-end RVs, it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a Prevost. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, two stories, multiple plasma screens. I mean, it's like if you won the lottery, you'd go, yes, I must have this. Okay.
You need to win the lottery to fuel it.
No, not really. I mean, just the tractors themselves, you know, like 8 miles to the gallon.
I don't
diesel
think
tractor.
So.
Yeah. That's
do they?
About right.
Is
yeah.
It yeah.
Hauling a load.
Because it's not 80,000 pounds though.
Right.
Yeah. You know, at 80,000 pounds, yes, they'll get five, but this is like 25 or 30,000. So it's.
Yeah, so he'd probably get eight.
It's
and
a featherweight. Yeah.
So
almost what a Super Duty.
The other cool thing is that by law, a trailer can only be 13 or 13 and a half feet tall. Mm-hmm. Well, this has to make it so that you can stand up on both floors, it has a hydraulic lift for the top floor that raises it an extra 5 feet. Yes, it's very, as the kids might say, it's very pimp.
It is very pimp. You heard it here first, folks.
So anyways.
We're breaking new ground.
The controversy comes from the fact that currently Will Smith is renting a 5-bedroom, 6-bath house in Soho right now. Mm-hmm. Or it's not really a house. It's a whatever they have in Soho. At like $20,000 a month or whatever. And 5 blocks away, near the set of where they're filming Men in Black 3, he has this parked.
Okay.
Yes. So, of course, possibly more douchier than some of the douchiest people in San Francisco, you have the people of Soho.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh,
and
yes.
Of course, this is blocking my view of the store. You know,
like,
so.
What view is there in New York City other than, like, trash and congestion? I'm sorry.
So, anyway, so
fan.
I guess it's causing quite the uproar that he has this parked near where they're filming the movie and it's blocking some storefronts or whatever.
Thank God he didn't do this in Tribeca because
De Niro would be in there. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I ran into him at a Mercedes event. we were in Tribeca and we were leaving. We're getting ready to leave after the technology portion. And I look down the street and I see this guy and I go, "That's Robert De Niro." And
you looking at me?
Guy next to me says, "There is no," because his hair is down to his shoulders, the whole, and he's got a beard and a whole nine yards. All the other journalists are going, "No, that is not Robert De Niro." And he gets a little closer. I go, "That's Robert De Niro." And this keeps going on. He gets within about 5 feet of us. I said, "It is Robert De Niro." And one of them got just a little tired of me and said, "There is no effing way. That is Robert De Niro." At which point De Niro stands right in front of him, grabs him by the collar, and he goes, "You talking to me?" Made my year. Made my year.
That to me is a better that it tops the Jason Vines playing golf with Robert Wagner going, "Number two, please talk to my assistant." That's better than that. Awesome. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, it's a cool thing that anyone would want to have, but because it's in Soho and...
I guess he's just going to have to run home to Bel Air.
Yeah. So
I got it.
What?
Fresh Prince.
Greg got a cultural reference.
Ding, oh, ding, boy. Ding.
Put the date down.
Mark it, Ben.
Sorry.
Chris Sawyer has died of typhoid. All right, Michelle, you got our next story. You can stand up to sit down for your right to pedal or be different.
Or
I
bounce.
I can bounce.
You're a bicycle enthusiast.
Now joined the ranks of Audi of having a bicycle designed in his honor. I do like the color scheme. It's Wimbledon white and Guardsman blue, and it's actually a local company here in Orange County that's making these Carroll Shelby bicycles. I don't really get the point of them, but
I mean,
it's one more thing for, you know, as long as Carroll Shelby can walk around with a silver paint pen and just sign more shit, you know.
Sorry. He seems to sign everything, doesn't
there's,
he?
It's the senility setting in.
Well, that's a little bit of it, but I've got to meet Carroll a few years ago and find out some of the behind the story stuff of what goes on there is. There's some people that have essentially taken over his businesses.
Wrangling them.
And
The family that was – there was some of the family that was doing it in Vegas, and they were – they filed bankruptcy, didn't they, last year?
Yeah, but it's more like his business manager kind of people, right. And they basically will license him out to anything for money and – it's kind of sad because Carroll –
he's poured out is what you're
yeah,
saying.
Pretty much. And it's sad because he's – well, I mean, he's 87 or 88 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not
he's
as sure.
He's almost as old as Bob Lutz, something like that, yeah.
Sadly.
So they're sort of diminishing what Carroll Shelby is mm-hmm. and was, but yeah. More for their benefit than
and
for
I,
his.
I also give him credit that I think recently, in the past couple of years, for the guys at Barrett Jackson who wanted him to sign it so they could get a couple extra $1,000 on their car, that he made them pay him a couple of thousand dollars to do it, and then it goes to his charity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of silly. Why do they need a bike with his name on it?
Because some jackass will buy it.
Why does Audi need a bicycle? You
know? It is cool.
Right,
it's
he
got
rides
a,
around in a golf cart now.
With his skimmer hat on. Vote for Coolidge. one cool thing, it's got a Springer front end like the old motorcycles used to have. So. That's its only redeeming feature. And $999, a little pricey for a bike, it seems, but I'm sure that's in line with normal.
$7,000 for a wood Audi bicycle.
Well, yeah, a wood
I know.
Audi
I love
bicycle.
Those wooden Audi bikes, but that's okay. Ben's dad's making me a wooden Vespa.
Is he now?
By the way, I didn't get to tell
you,
Michelle.
Around for that story.
Story time with Ben Slanders.
I didn't get to tell you, Michelle.
What?
He said if you buy the materials, you buy the Vespa, you buy the wood, he'll make it.
It'll take 30 years to get it, but he'll
that's okay.
But eventually, you'll have your wooden Vespa.
I'll tell you after the show.
Sure.
So there you go. How do you like me now?
The only car company that should be doing
you,
bicycles
Michelle.
Is Peugeot.
Thank you, Craigie.
Instead of cars.
Well, Peugeot started as a bicycle manufacturer.
Sacré bleu.
Yeah. This is the way to do this. I've got chains. Oh, I love it. But when I was at Lotus, they had done bicycles. And the funny thing was, Chris Boardman wins the Olympic gold medal for the pursuit and all that. And Boardman apparently got very egotistical after that. And that's when Lotus let it be known quietly among bicyclists how he won the gold medal.
It's graphite powder.
No, it was made out of carbon fiber. But the Lotus engineers realized that the bike was only weighed once.
Oh, okay. So
every time Chris Boardman was handed a bicycle and he ran in all of these different pursuits, it was a different bicycle, and each one was lighter until he got to the last
race,
and the bike didn't weigh much more than the wheels and the derailleur on it. And he thought that he was the man.
Uh-huh. They never told him?
They never told him. And that bicycle is now sitting in Heffel, and I got a chance to see it.
Did you get a chance to ride it?
I didn't get a chance to ride it.
Then I don't
want to
hear the rest.
I'm a little portlier than Chris Boardman is. But I did get a chance to pick it up, and I grabbed it thinking, oh, it's a bicycle, and almost threw it into the air.
It was the Colin Chapman bicycle. Absolutely. It was going to fall apart
exactly.
5 feet after across
five
the finish
feet
line.
After across the finish line, that thing was going to be in pieces. It must have weighed about 2 pounds. It was amazing.
Wow. Fascinating story, guys. Fascinating stories in the news portion of the program, which we hope you, our loyal listeners, enjoyed. But coming up after the break, we're going to take a look at an interesting Soviet-era tractor that, surprise, surprise, never caught on. We'll go in the garage and talk about what everyone's been driving lately, and we'll make you feel good about yourself with another uplifting installment of Stupid Car Tricks. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss a word of this. But for now, I need to talk about our good friends at Advance Auto Parts, no?
Oh, yes, quite.
Visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on the Advance Auto Parts link on the right-hand sidebar of the page, and you can save some serious moolah. We have a very, very special exclusive offer that is running right now. If you order $30 worth of goods from them, from Advance, you can save $10. You order $50 worth of goods, you save $20. $100, you save $30. Again, that's 10 off 30, 20 off 50, or $30 off of 100. That's a lot of savings, Chris.
Yeah, I'm doing the math right now. It'll take me a little while, but
and you
I'll
drive
get,
a Volkswagen, which I mean, I'm sure it's under warranty. But if it weren't, heaven forbid, you would need to get in touch with folks at Advance.
I have two British cars in the garage, so I may have to take them up on this offer.
The Cortina.
Buy stuff now.
Great idea, Eric. I couldn't have said it better myself. It's all very important that you go to our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get these deals. If you don't follow the link on our website, it will not register with Advance.
And the best thing is you can order it online, but go pick it up in person.
If you need questions or you've got any questions for the friendly folks at Advance, you can pick it up in store, like you said, Eric, and they'll be happy to help you out.
And
with
no
that.
Shipping. No paying for shipping.
But orders exceeding $75. Now, are you sitting down for this, Chris?
Yes, I am, as you can see.
You might want to check.
Yeah, I am.
As I stare right at you 3 feet away. If you're sitting down. Orders exceeding $75. Free shipping.
Free shipping? Get out.
Free.
No.
I'll let you stew on that.
How do they stay in business?
By volume of sales.
It's unbelievable.
Even out to California, Michelle, you can get free shipping.
And it saves you from having to order it and go in and pick it up at your local shop and have them go, you're one of those roundabout weirdos. Huh? Okay.
No, that would imply they knew who we were, which is just in the case. Even if you're not in the market for parts, aftermarket or repair or otherwise, I don't know what other categories there might be, you can still click on the link and let them know you care, that you are a roundabout fan and that you appreciate what they're doing for us. So
that's right.
Click early.
Click a lot.
Exactly. Click, click, click.
It's like that HGTV greenhouse giveaway. You can vote twice a day.
That's right. Well, vote as many times as you want. We'll throw them away.
So we thank our friends at Advance Auto Parts for providing their services to the Roundabout Show. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's great news, everyone. So moving along, it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, I hurt myself breathing in like that, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a little feature about an electrically powered tractor from Soviet Russia. Can you believe?
Look at me! I'm driving a hybrid!
Oh, wait. EV. Sorry.
Look at me! I'm driving an
EV. There we go.
Wow, that was so professionally done. I couldn't tell there was a jump there.
So we've got an article here from the Jalopnik? I can never remember.
Does it matter?
Awkward
no.
sounds.
So I guess during the Soviet days, Chris, you would remember these better than the rest of us.
I spent many a year on the gulag.
Yes, you speaking out against
decades
your
comments. And decades and decades.
Kamchatka.
Yes.
So the Soviets had an idea to build an electric tractor that would run off high voltage provided to these vast collective farm fields.
What could possibly go wrong?
With a gigantic extension cord to power them. They were going to run them off battery, according to this article on Jalopnik. But they realized it would have taken something like 10 metric tons of lead and acid to power.
Well, and it worked so well in, you know, that humid, hot, warm Soviet, you know.
Oh, yes.
Balmy Soviet.
It is 40 degrees below outside this warm day.
Well, these are for farming in the more temperate months of the year, so like June and July.
Okay, East 10 below.
Yes. So what is even feasible about this?
You consider how much electricity you're losing the longer that cord gets. And this could be a problem.
All right, I can't remember my electric stuff too well, but it would be DC. They'd probably be smart to run it on DC, right? Because that way there'd be
less drop off, and yeah.
Yeah, well, which meant they ran it on AC, of course.
Of course, Sergey. The farther I go, the slower it gets. I do not understand.
We have technical data from Nikola Tesla. Just travel over air. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Broadcast power. It work.
Those are. Yeah, I can see Tesla coils all over the place. Just
Everybody's hair standing up. I cannot have children, but I am able to farm.
Yeah, all right, for those of you watching or listening to the podcast, go to YouTube. Just type in Tesla coil. You'll understand what we say, and you'll have, well,
hours
at least,
of fun.
I was going to say at least a couple minutes of amusement.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the absurdity never ceased, apparently, in the Soviet Union. We had the screw-powered vehicles a few weeks ago, those giant corkscrews on the bottom, which, Michelle, you took quite a fancy to, I understand.
Oh, of course. I wasn't even on that one.
You could play along, you know. Instead of being Michelle Colbert over there, deadpan, Miss Deadpan.
Well, according to the home game, you were on that one.
So, I don't even know why we're doing this story. I just kind of picture this rickety, you know, those old steam powered tractors they had way back in the day. I could imagine something looking like that with a coffee can diameter like cable spooled on the back, running out kilometer after kilometer out to this.
And on the side of it says Tupolev Volt.
Yes, Tupolev. The Tupolev Design Bureau. Yeah. So, well, if you guys out there want more details on this Soviet electric tractor and to see some of these crackerjack sketches they've got of these things, hit the link in the show notes, roundaboutshow.com. You can be the jury.
So there were enough words in the story to make up for the other 800 Jalopnik stories of the week. So, you know, that had as many words as the other 799.
Yes, I do believe so.
Which are usually seven words in a link.
Yeah, exactly. What? So. Work? No, sorry.
Ben, why don't you go ahead and roll up that door? We're going in the garage.
Sounds good.
Haven't replaced that motor yet.
No, I meant to do that.
So we got a whole slew of vehicles we've been driving here lately. Some fun, some not, Chris.
Craig, why don't you start us off?
I'll kick things off, as it were.
High end.
I've been enjoying a certain luxury vehicle this week. It comes from a certain Munich-based automaker. Perhaps you're familiar. You've heard of BMW before?
It sounds vaguely familiar, yes.
Well, I've been enjoying the advantages of the BMW 550i for the past few days.
Ooh.
It's quite a luscious vehicle. Michelle, are you
now
a fan?
Now that she likes.
Does it have a pillow soft ride?
It's got an adjustable ride. Funny you ask, Eric.
No, a German car with too many adjustments that you can't take care of? Please.
And that I had two mechanical faults randomly on it. I was merging onto I-75 one morning, and I'm in third gear. Plenty of power in third gear for merging on this car. And I get on the gas, and I get the cheerful BMW chirp. And I look, what the hell? And plus, the car wasn't accelerating that fast, and it was flashing fuel, mechanical fuel fault. Please drive moderately. And I'm like, what? So then I stopped, and it went away, and then never came back. So I'm just assuming that's Siemens Electronics or something. I don't know.
I think, quite honestly, when you tally up the electrical faults that are showing up in German cars, that they're quickly becoming the British.
Lucas.
Getting ridiculous. Yeah, dim flicker off the three-position switch. Yeah.
He invented the short circuit.
Exactly.
So did it take 5 minutes of like...
To clear itself?
No,
it
I'm
just
did,
went
like,
away.
When you first get in to drive away, you have to turn that on.
No, it was pretty...
Okay.
It was pretty normal driving, getting it started up and going. But the other fault I had is the fuel pump, and then the cruise control just randomly like stopped functioning.
There's a reason why 80% of BMWs are leased.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You don't want to own it out of warranty.
Yeah, you want how much to fix it?
it was an awesome car. And this one was equipped with a 6-speed manual, which made it the better.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Fast. Not as fast as I would have expected.
Well, it's because it weighs 4,800 pounds.
But it's got 400 horsepower.
But it weighs
V8.
It needs 400 horsepower to move 4,800 pounds. Yeah.
Lots of top-end pull on that engine, too. Really screams
so
up
it
the
work,
red
we'll line. Pull the skin off pudding.
Works well in stop-and-go traffic, then, with all that
smooth.
Top-end power.
Well, perfectly smooth.
And Americans all drive on torque anyway.
Yeah. What color was it, Craigie?
I knew that was coming. It was white, Michelle. Thanks for asking. It was alpine white, I think, was the color.
Mm. It wasn't silver?
No.
Wow.
The X5M
we had was white as well.
And the interior was a...
The light beige color.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with black on top, of course. Okay. What else did I like? Oh, the thing I didn't like about the engine, it didn't sound like anything. It made no noise.
It's because it has a turbocharger.
But still, I expected some rumble of some sort. There's nothing. It might as well have been a four-cylinder. That was my biggest gripe about
it. Your stomach rumbled louder?
Yeah. Well, I starved myself deliberately.
Get that performance stomach sound.
Yes. But other than that, awesome car, 70 grand, a little pricey.
Yikes.
And I don't trust the quality with the two faults I had randomly in a few days.
Kidding.
And it likes fuel. It's kind of thirsty, 1722 miles.
That's actually not that bad.
That's really not too bad for the weight and the power. But,
but Eric, you were in something a little thriftier.
Yes, I was.
But still a very nice vehicle.
Very nice vehicle.
Tell us about it.
I had the 2012 Ford Focus Titanium. It was black, Michelle.
Now, titanium isn't a precious metal, though. It's interesting they chose that for their top trim level.
Yeah. It also had the very unique, which I didn't like at first and kind of grew on me, black and white interior.
Yeah.
It looks, as someone said, it looked like a penguin. Someone said it looked like a golf shoe.
Or a keyboard.
But over time, in the week I had it, I sort of kind of liked it. Mm-hmm. My only issue was that it had white on the steering wheel. And I'm like, that's going to discolor over time.
Oh, yeah.
Not if it's vinyl like they typically use. It's indestructible.
Well,
yeah. I don't know. The white steering wheel on the Fiat 500 I drove was kind of looking grody.
Yeah.
You get a Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and clean it up.
Yeah, you want to get the guys from CSI to see what that is on that steering wheel. After
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Ignorance.
I think there was a Top Gear episode where they did that. Yes, and it's like, But anyways, I got it with the 6-speed dual clutch transmission just because I figured, well, in the drive that Michelle and I had out in California, I enjoyed that better than the manual. Plus, I figured more people would drive that than the manual. Right. So I wanted to see what everyone else's experience would be.
Yeah.
Interesting thing that you forget about is it's a dual clutch, not an automatic. Mm-hmm. So that when you're on a hill and you take your foot off the brake, it rolls back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoops. Fabulous car. Good power from the 2-liter. It was better than what I remembered it being out in California. Did a fuel mileage run on 94 between Dearborn and Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. There back 37 and a half, driving about 75, 80 miles an hour.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Like I said, plenty of power. Huge interior in it. Like the back seat room isn't the best,
right.
I'll be honest with you. But when you fold it down, it fits an English Mastiff. And I have visual proof. I have pictures.
I've seen the pictures.
I showed you the pictures.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, and that's a big dog.
Yeah, Lola's not small.
Lola, she's no
purse dog.
What Lola wants, Lola gets.
Yes, most of the time, yes.
Yes.
Handled very well. The electric power steering on that thing is really, really good. At 0 to 5 miles an hour, it's like,
nothing there.
But as soon as you get going faster, about 10 miles an hour, you can feel it weight up.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the highway, it's like it's perfect weight on the highway.
Sounds like they've learned a lot from the Focus because the Focus was a mess.
The Fiesta?
Or Fiesta, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah.
All those F words.
Yeah.
The Fiesta was – it couldn't figure out what it was. And they had the damper settings were perfect and the springs were too tight and it was – on hand-cooked tires that didn't like it being there. This is on Continentals, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, yes.
And how was the DCT, the dual clutch, in terms of kick down, getting what you want to do? I mean, my understanding with the Fiesta, it doesn't really want to react too quickly.
It wasn't bad. I will say that it likes to upshift quickly.
Yes.
It's programmed to upshift quickly for maximum mileage,
right,
which is a little odd because you can be going 25 miles an hour and be in fourth gear.
Oh, nice.
But you put your foot into it, and it will kick down. I didn't have too many – I don't remember being like, Jesus Christ, will you go already? Kind of, you know, didn't have one of those moments, or it was like – wasn't
Eric,
waiting.
He
the,
already went for your sins.
And he said, I will, my son.
Yes.
Patience.
Yes.
Now, did you use the plus minus?
A little bit.
Everybody, it just sort of –
What's
not
the point?
Really there, yeah.
You do slot it all the way back into sport, and mm-hmm. it does make it. It did. There was a. It definitely did adjust the shift points in it. It handled well. It's not a performance car. It's not a sporty car, but it's a everyday car that has a little. It's spunky. It's spunky.
Right.
I guess would be the best way to say it. But have no illusions that it's a. In this trim. You know, non-ST or RS,
right.
That it's some kind of performance car. It's not.
No.
But it's a really good, solid – I mean, it's a great – it's a really good car, and it's probably one of the three cars that I've tested or had that I'm like, do I have to give this back? It was not cheap.
No.
This had pretty much every option other than the sunroof in it.
And it had to be damn near $29,000.
$25,600.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money, and I'm not going to say that. But you can get a nicely equipped one for $21,22.
Right.
This was a top line, fully loaded. And, oh, yeah, by the way, all the cars in this segment are going more to that way than mm-hmm. to – and then someone says, that's too much for that. Really? Because have you priced the, say, Volvo C30 or an Audi A3?
Oh, yeah.
You can't – yes, you can – buy them for $26,000 or $28,000, but you can't because by the time you put two options in it, they're like $34,000.
Eric, would you?
Oh, I saw an A3 that was for sale that was a 2008 yesterday, and it had over 100,000 miles, and it was still $24,000.
2008 with 100,000
no,
miles?
Yeah,
no.
And it didn't have a sport package on it.
So was that the Delirium trim edition?
Yeah.
So I guess I can say, like, phenomenal, knock it out of the park,
say,
home run.
I would
buy that car with my own money.
So you're saying, would you?
And that says a lot from a journalist.
Yeah,
we don't have money.
We don't have money.
Yeah, we don't have money.
So would you say the 2012 Focus is of the mainstream C-section cars? It's the best
C-section cars. I haven't driven the.
Give me the epidural.
I haven't driven a Golf, so I can't say based off of that, but off of some of the other, and I'm still waiting to get the Cruze. Still,
Cruze is not bad.
Yeah,
Cruze is interesting though because the 1.4 turbo is the engine that they push because the base car is the 1.8, exactly the same power but at different, you know, lower down of the 1.8. The 1.4 turbo is not a bad motor, but it sure doesn't feel like there's a heck of a lot more there.
Yeah,
and the really funny part about it was I was on 696. And I had the L2LT and heading up towards Woodward where you get the big sweeps
mm-hmm.
and hit the bumps just right. And the damper settings are such that all of a sudden the car felt weightless.
Oops.
And you're just sitting there and the sphincter's starting to pucker and you're going, what in the hell is going on here? Am I going to start sliding off the road or am I just going to float off into eternity? And then it all comes back to the earth and it's like, wow, that was weird. And I drove around, did it again, and exactly. It wasn't just a weird little one-off.
Yeah.
Other than that, the interior's nice.
Yeah. I would say
the Focus has got more style to it.
Yeah, and like the Elantra, I thought was really quite good, and I had the limited,
mm-hmm.
you know, full load of that. And when I said one of my initial thoughts were on that, I think were really confirmed was that it's the Elantra is a really good car,
mm-hmm.
and. Value-wise versus the Focus, it's definitely the better value, but it's not quite as good of a car.
No.
Just – and everything. And especially –
dynamically, it's not quite.
Yeah, yeah. And the interior, you can see $3,000 or $4,000. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
like you can literally go, yes, that's $4,000
mm-hmm.
worth of difference.
$4,000 worth of difference.
You know what I'm saying? Like just the
– silicone or saline?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, level of material, quality of material, amount of material. I guess
right.
that's the best way to say
right.
it is just
– yeah, because the top of the forward instrument panel is covered in the same material that's used, the same maker that does the top of the dash on the Rolls Royce.
Ah.
I mean, it's like we're not talking, you know, downscale here. Yeah. So, you feel it in that car.
Yeah.
And I've got a Jetta, you know, and it's everybody complains
about. They contracted cement companies to do the dash.
Well, here's the thing about the Jetta, though, is if you haven't experienced the last edition,
you won't.
You would know. Yeah, you're not going to know the difference.
It's going to be judged by the previous edition, and I think unfairly.
Yeah, I agree.
Because most people don't sit there and go, oh, look, it's soft.
Yeah. So I guess to sum up the focus, everybody's going to bitch and complain about how expensive it is.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Good things cost.
Yeah, if you want a cheap car, buy something else. If you want a nice car, that's probably 5 years ago, you would have to spend well over $30,000 to get that level of material and quality in a car. So, I mean,
technology, you couldn't even get a car.
Yeah, let's skip the technology. I'm just talking about
the vehicle itself. Yeah.
The dynamics, the quality of the build, the materials used, fit and finish. You were spending, like I said, well over $30,000 5 years ago to get that, and you're getting it for under $25,000 now. Yeah. So I'm sorry, that's a hell of a deal.
Thanks for that, Eric. Now, rumor has it, Naranjo,
yes.
I understand you were in a little Fiat Cinquecento.
Wait, Michelle had a press car?
No.
Oh.
No, I was at the Texas Auto Writers.
Oh, okay.
Towel or whatever it's called.
Forget it.
Towel.
Doesn't count. It wasn't in my garage.
I've skied there, I think.
So what'd you think of that Fiat 500?
I loved it. I mean, I talked to Eric.
That's a 5-double-aught.
After I drove it. I mean, I really liked it, but I realized the other day how I've driven Fiestas and Focuses so much that I have it hammered into my head that it's, you know, they're boron steel and they're all the, you know, because I keep thinking I want to buy something little for commuting. And I thought, oh, I'll buy the Fiat. And then I was.
And you start thinking, this is
like,
Linguini.
It may not be as safe as the Ford. Like, I've been brainwashed.
So the 500 is a very small automobile.
You know, the back seat, honestly, the back seat's bigger than the Mustang.
Leave that one alone.
More room. You could conceive a child in the back, you're saying.
Yeah.
So dynamic.
Maybe. Yeah, not saying that
dynamically,
it did, but
dynamically, how was the 500?
I thought it was fun to drive. I actually think the Fiesta is more fun to drive.
Really?
But there's a nice little style aspect to the Fiat. And it's not like, I mean, I go straight up and down the 405. It's not like I'm winding around the hills that Eric and I drove the Focus in.
Did you like the multi-air system on that engine there?
The multi-air, that was immediately the first thing I noticed.
What color was it?
Oh, well, I drove the manual and the automatic.
Which
so
color
that,
was they?
The first one I drove was that color that you're showing right now on the
burnt sienna
screen, that ready orange. Yeah, and then the second one was the
Rojo Oregano,
which I didn't. The lounge kit, which has like so way too much going on inside the car. It's I think there was camel black, white.
So trashy strip club lounge.
So there were like four different colors going, main colors besides the silver.
Did it play anything but techno at about 130 decibels inside?
So like it?
Keep pulling up in front of strip
or
club.
Love it, Michelle.
I like it. When you came
to a
you
stop,
buy one
and someone
to replace the Kia?
Roll up to you with a bottle of vodka and say, "This will be $400."
You're going to buy one
well,
over the.
I've been thinking about it. I mean, what was surprising was, you know, how they're the uptake on them. And I talked with a little bit on this about on Twitter about this, but they were expecting to sell 70% to 30% automatic over manual, and they're actually selling 60-40 manual over automatic right now.
That's awesome.
And they thought it was going to be something like 70% female, 30% male, and they're selling something like 60% male, 40% women.
Wow.
Jeez.
A lot of cars.
So we have a question in the chat from Gorski. See, Michelle, asking you, do you have to wear a black turtleneck while driving it?
I believe you do.
Do you have to own Apple products to own the Cinquecento?
Probably.
Do you have to drink Nostro Zero beer?
Or drink Fuji water?
Peroni.
Fuji water.
It comes in a square bottle.
Exactly.
So, Chris, you were also in another vehicle, a Ford vehicle.
Yes.
For
yes.
quite an extended period.
Yes.
You were going down to Virginia, I understand.
Yep.
you're doing a side job. You're shuttling Virginia peanuts from a factory.
No, actually,
they do a dry roast. I understand.
I prefer the honey roast myself.
Yeah. Those peanuts are good. Had a Ford Transit Connect.
Oh, the tranny.
No, not really. Now, the funny thing about this is it's based on the old Focus. So it's like 1998 technology and built in Turkey.
Coceli.
We're talking about things.
Talk about a chicken tax.
Yeah, no kidding. But I wanted to give it a real test. I'd driven the panel version before. This was the passenger version. And I wanted to give it a real test. So I went to the girlfriend and said, let's go see your sister, because they usually end up taking lots of stuff over to the sister's house and then lots of stuff picked up from the sister's house and taken back.
Your girlfriend's a gypsy.
No, she has an antique mall business. So she takes all the Christmas stuff and gives it to Annie, and Annie gives her all the stuff that she doesn't want anymore.
Michelle, this sounds familiar to you.
I know. It's why I want a Transit Connect.
Well, we looked like the Jodes going and coming. On the way back, especially, it was packed so high I couldn't see out of the windows that I was enjoying earlier.
It's like the panel version.
It was suddenly the panel version, and thankfully it has big mirrors.
And it's a little known fact. The panel version does not have reverse because it's too dangerous to back up.
Well, you put it in neutral and put your foot out and push.
That's right. Yeah. You do the whole Flintstone thing. It does work.
They have a little lock mechanism on the reverse. It's still there. It's still the Prindle. But
actually, you just order the camera and it will come up in the rearview mirror. Oh, yeah. And this one
has
that.
So you can still hit stuff.
This one was $24,000, which sounds like a lot for such a basic vehicle, especially something that's got the 2-liter Duratec with 138 horsepower and a 4-speed automatic.
So this one would not pull the film off of a pudding.
That's the funny part about it. It would because it only had 4 speeds, it would hold third gear going up grades. And you'd be sitting there going, "Shut up!"
And it's not a well-insulated vehicle, noise-wise, because it's a utility.
A work truck. Yes, exactly. And you see that mostly the florist shops will have it. But the funny thing was, it did the job very well. I was also testing a fuel additive in it.
You're buying into that snake oil?
No, this stuff really worked. When you consider the EPA rating on the Transit Connect is 26, and we were hitting regularly 31.
Not exactly with a light load in it.
Was it
not
acetone?
Exactly a light load. Actually, that is one of the ingredients. But the funny part about it was it carried everything. It held more than we thought it would. Cindy usually will take her Passat wagon, and then that poor thing
will hold
lots of stuff.
That's not good for trafficking people, no.
Trafficking people, no. In fact, you can get a lot of illegals in the back of a Transit Connect. But as long as it's under 1,600 pounds, that's really what you have to make sure that you don't
do. It's that Focus platform.
Yeah, exactly. But I talked to the chief engineer on it, and outfitters are wild about this thing. There may well be a Cabela version of this car.
Like
there may
replacement
well,
for Eddie Bauer.
They want this thing. They're saying that small families are starting to buy this because minivans are getting too big for them
and too expensive.
Yeah, I had a Quest recently. It was 43.7. And here was this thing that was 24.1, and it's like
does everything you need.
Yeah, okay, and you've got sliding doors on either side, and you've got the split door in the back. It's
offer a better engine and a modern 6-speed transaction.
Even
a manual, a 5-speed manual.
No,
awesome.
Just an EcoBoost, 2-liter EcoBoost. Mm-hmm. With the 6-speed.
I want the Pilote version, the one that they did for the LA Auto Show when they introduced the Transit Connect. They did it in Gulf blue and orange.
Oh.
They did 19-inch BBS split rims on it, and they did the rear of the car all in teak wood, in nicely done teak wood with the chrome runners on it. Nice. I wanted that thing so bad, and I was talking to the guy who did it. He goes, but when we put the 19s on it, man, it really slowed down. Okay, so we pull out the motor.
I say the 2-liter EcoBoost knowing that full well that Ford would never put a turbo diesel in it, so... No, at least for North America.
At least for North America, exactly. Despite the fact that we're buying more diesels than hybrids.
Yes. So.
What?
So you liked it then?
I actually, it's a very honest vehicle. Every woman who saw it said, "Oh, it's so cute." I took it to McDonald's drive-through one day, and there was, you know, the typical, well, she must have been what, 18-year-old girl. They're taking the money. Mm-hmm. She sees this thing, and she's just waving me up. Has me, you know, she's, I roll down the window. She goes, "What is that?" And I tell her all about it. And she goes, "Was it like on the inside?" Next thing I know, she is crawling out of
the window
into, she's halfway into my car. I've got this 18-year-old girl
on your lap,
basically giving me this sort of McDonald's. Exactly.
I say, like, where was the camera on that one?
And no kidding. Are you happy to see
party?
Me?
Yeah.
And I'm getting this sort of McDonald's drive-through lap dance, and she's looking at this thing going, "Oh, how much is it? How much is it?" She absolutely wanted one.
It. Sorry.
And the other thing that was cool about it was in Virginia, where Cindy's sister lives, there's a road called Pope's Head Road. And no, it's not because you put the Pope's head on a stick. It's Mr. Pope owned the head road.
It's not like Buga de Beppo, the Pope's head table.
But it's the road has been named one of the top three roads by, I can't remember which motorcycle magazine. Well, right down from Annie's house, it goes up a hill. And as you crest the hill, that's when you finally see the sign that says, "Caution, 10 miles an hour." And the paddock that's right past it with the big rock in front of it. We had five people on board this thing, and I don't read street signs or believe them. So I went into the corner at 25, and it did wonderfully. And it was like, you know, this thing handles really nicely. I could live with this car, but I really want more speeds.
Well, if you remember, this is one of the earliest episodes of Roundabout that we did. Somebody in the UK at a Transit Connect put the old Focus RS, so the 2-liter Z-Tech, in there, and that thing must have hauled.
That'd work.
But another interesting vehicle on the list here, Chevy Volt. I was in that. So
I've heard of that.
Electrifying.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know. So Chevy's
KBB's number one green car of the year for 2011.
Oh, no surprise there.
Is it an electric car?
It's more than that, Michelle.
Is it a hybrid?
Well, it's Chevy. So much more.
Oh, are you sure Chevy didn't lie about
extended
that?
Extended range vehicle?
Yeah, you could say that. That's what it feels like because you're empowered to help the earth when you're driving the Volt.
And?
It's not very nice to drive.
It's not?
It's not really that nice to drive. The steering, very light. The brake pedal feels artificial. You step on it. There's this weird transition between the regenerative braking, which is very mild regenerative braking.
Really?
Extremely mild. In fact, I wish it were much more aggressive. I'm but the surprised. Transition between that and the friction brakes was a little weird, but these are just very minor complaints.
Mm-hmm.
It drives fine, really. Just nitpicks from me. The bigger issue I had were the blind spots. The A-pillars were gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
C-pillars even bigger. So, son of Camaro, I guess, because you couldn't see anything. A
yikes.
Hard to see.
Called rollover.
Yeah, roof crush malarkey.
Yeah.
But yeah, it felt very solid, very hefty feeling, probably because the lithium-ion batteries weigh a ton. But
that could do it, yeah.
But it was quiet, it was smooth.
It's a $40,000 Chevy Cruze.
Yeah, it kind of whirs along. The transition.
There's another car you never buy, you lease.
Yes.
Transition from electric mode to the internal combustion engine, the range extender, was stunningly smooth. You could not, at highway speed, you could not hear the engine running. You could not even feel it. Just the little animation swapped from the battery in the cluster, swapped from battery to a little gas tank.
That's
the only reason you knew. And then it's weird when you're driving it in extended range mode because our engine RPMs do not correspond to your level of acceleration. So the engine will spool up and you're sitting there kind of not going anywhere. Which is kind of weird because it's obviously running. It's charging the battery up when you're running.
Do that at a stoplight and someone thinks you want to race?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that loud.
Can you
so.
Brake torque at the Volt? That'd be interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, other than a couple – I mean, it's a reel. You can fit four people in it. Good amount of room in the back. Really quiet on the highway. I've got nothing – no complaints other than the steep price. But if you're an early adopter, you got to expect that. The lease, though, what, $350 a month? That's perfectly reasonable, I think,
right.
For a little bit of a higher-end sedan-type car.
And then did you plug it in at night?
I did 12 hours to get 31 miles of range on 110 volt.
Wow. What was the outside temperature?
It was temperate. It was in the 50s to 60s. It was in a garage, so
60s. I remember running into Lutz at the auto show a couple of years ago, and it was bloody cold outside. And he was talking about how he had driven the Volt in, and no one asked him the question. So, of course, I did.
Mm-hmm.
So how many miles did you get on electric, Bob? Well, it's a 28.
Is that less than 40?
It does go down when it gets colder, but, you know, that's the gasoline engine kicks in, and you don't have to worry about things like that. Yeah, I'll stick with my internal combustion engine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's the Volt. I liked it. Wasn't a knock. I mean, some people are equating it to a moonshot. Others despise it. I'm in the middle. It's a nice car, and I appreciate
what. Would you have named it Car of the Year if you were at Motor Trend?
What was it going up against? I don't even remember.
Everything else that was out at that point.
Nissan Leaf.
Yeah.
Maybe. I could see how it's significant. If not the car, if the car itself is not significant,
the idea behind it
and the technological innovation it represents. Right. So, yeah, very nice. I'm not gaga, but it's a great vehicle.
You're not gaga, that's for sure.
Moving right along, we've got a stupid car trick coming up next. But first, I'd like to mention our fine friends at Tire Rack. If you swing by our website, roundaboutshow.com, and click on the link at the top of the page, you can save $80 when you purchase a qualifying set of 4 Goodyear or Dunlop tires. Again, you must follow the link on our website, roundaboutshow.com, to get this offer. That's $80 off 4 Goodyear or Dunlop tires, so pretty good deal. And we thank Tire Rack for their support. So, okay, who's ready for a self-esteem boost?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Go on now.
So we've got another wonderful article from the Autoholics.com. Powered by Car Domain, interestingly enough.
We've been here.
I know. That's why we come back. It was a pretty good story the first time. Anyway, so we've got a video of someone that looks like they're trying to load a car. I'm not even certain what varietal it is.
Well, based off everything else in that lot, it's probably a BMW.
Yeah. So the guy's
probably
trying
one
to...
one of those off-lease ones.
Guy's trying to ramp it up onto the back of a flatbed truck with predictable hilarity.
So what happens here, Craig?
Well, let's see. Let's get that video going. All right. The guy is lining it up on the ramps. Slowly and steady. There you go.
Looks
they've sped this up for
maximum hilarity. There it goes. Whoa! So
he goes up to the window, gets in, and then, oh, my God. The car launches over the ramp, smashes into the back of the truck.
It must have been a Toyota. Must have been a Toyota.
Toyotas don't accelerate that fast.
That's true.
It had some force. It just leaps up the ramps and smashes into the back of the truck, the cab portion, and then rolls off the side. It's almost fake looking. It's so preposterous.
It used to be very common in the 60s with the muscle cars, especially as Detroit got a little crazy, everybody started to one-up everybody else because the clutches would grab so hard at one point in their travel that it was not uncommon to be driving past the dealers and see the guy get up there. Usually the car was on the top, and he would start taking the thing back, and it would go flying off the ramp into whatever was behind it, or if he was putting one on, to watch it go over.
Did you witness this?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mulligan Lincoln Mercury was a great...
Mulligan?
Yep. Great. And it was
Mulligan.
Perfectly named. And I saw one where the guy took a Cougar Eliminator and was driving it up the ramp, got the clutch a little bit wrong, launched it over the cab of the truck into
that
lot.
School bus of
no,
orphans.
It was a lot of brand new Lincolns. He took out 4 of them. It was just
the best
day of my life.
It was ever so nice. So okay, this car smashes into the back of the truck. That's not all. It rolls off the driver's side of the flatbed afterward. Which, Ben, if you play that again, I don't even know how it got that sort of.
And what I love is the guy races over to the side. He's like, I'm going to save this thing.
Yeah. Stop. Never mind that it could crush me to death right here, shatter my pelvis.
I'm guessing this was somewhere in Albania.
Hey, man. Taking some cars, man. So, yeah,
he's
there
stolen.
You go.
What do I get?
You can check this video out along with all of our other fine stories on our website, roundaboutshow.com. And you really should check this one out. It is pretty funny. Michelle, you're holding your head in your hand. Why?
I was just thinking about you in a meat suit.
What?
Gaga.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
I'm glad you clarified that there for us, Ben. Well, better, I was a little worried there for a second.
Better than him spending 72 hours inside an egg.
I'm going to thankfully remain oblivious to all of this. And we're going to plug everyone. So, Eric Tritko.
Whoa.
Plugs. Rumblestrip.net.
Yes. Rumblestrip on Twitter.
Wow.
What else?
Whoa. Creepy. How's that for stereo? 5.1 stereo surround sound?
2.1, maybe. What's going on?
Eventually, I've got four reviews I need to get done.
So you're right on target.
Yes, exactly. Stay on target.
We're too close.
Just hold them off for a few.
I've got to get my. I videoed the review of the Focus, but I wasn't happy with it, so I'm going to end up writing that one. I have to get my Jetta review. The Jetta review, the Kia Optima, the Ford Focus. And I still need to do the Toyota Prius reviews.
You have really been in the middle of the market, haven't you?
I just looked at the chat. Sean in Erie says, McLap dance, please.
So that's what I'm I'm loving it.
Is it like
it.
That chocolate or vanilla?
Do, 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 do. I'm loving it.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Did you have fries with that?
Burger King, wasn't it? Have it your way right away.
Have it your way, yeah.
Right away. Anyway. So, Rumblestrip on the Twitter, rumblestrip.net.
Yes.
Thank you, Eric. How'd you do on your MS walk?
Thank you for asking. Yeah, we did the MS walk last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Great turnout. Mayor Dave Bing and his wife came out. So Bing it and decide. Yes. Turns out his sister-in-law had passed away from MS.
So, really? I didn't realize that.
So I raised $635, which exceeded my goal of $500.
Awesome!
All right.
And I may exceed my stretch goal of $1,000 because I'm in the running. Quicken Loans is doing a Twitter giveaway for like best tweet about something, or what would you do with $500 if we gave it to you from Quicken Loans? And I said in my tweet, I don't need the $500, but you're welcome to give it to my MS walk. And they said, and I got a tweet back from them saying, you're entered, and that's a really good one. So
cool.
I still may get my stretch goal of $1,000.
Oh, cool.
So.
I retweeted that one, too.
Cool.
Stretch marks, goals. Very nice.
Yes.
Eric.
So, yeah, it was great. It was a nice walk through Detroit, and it was a lot of fun. Really good turnout.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
No, that wasn't the ROAB level up.
No.
But I think you deserve one.
Thank you for asking about that, Craig.
That's a nice level up. Congratulations, Eric.
Thank you.
Yeah. Michelle Naranjo, E-I-E-I-O, Naranjo was her name-o, if that's how the song goes.
Floor calling me.
I thought you said your phone's never called. Nobody's called you, Michelle, and your desk phone is
That's like the third time my desk phone's rung, and I think I have voicemails on there. I can see it flashing at me, and I don't know how to get it.
Put a couple napkins on top. It'll be fine. Auto by Tell. What's going on?
We actually joined the 21st century yesterday and started our Facebook fan page.
I like it.
How do you like it?
I like that fan page.
Thank you.
I'm going on to the Facebook right now, and I'm going to search for AUTOBYTEL.
Yes, sir.
Automotive by Telephone. There it is. Oh, did you do that graphic?
I did not.
Oh.
Oh.
I'm going to give it a like-a-roo, as everyone listening to this podcast should. Chris, get on that. You're on the Facebook.
I will. Yes, I am on Facebook.
Okay.
I actually sit there and read Facebook often and go, don't you people work?
And the answer is no. What are they all doing in Hines Park during the day when we're trying to shoot video reviews, Ben?
That's what I want to know.
Where all these people come from. Anyway.
But the real question, Michelle, is, are you on Friendaroo yet?
I am on Frienderoo. I was one of the original early adopters of Frienderoo.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
It really took off after that.
Frienderoo me.
So what's going on with AutoByTel, Michelle? You guys are relaunching the website. All kinds
relaunching
of
the site June 3rd. Working hard.
Okay. Taking care of business every day, as it were.
Yeah, as it were.
She works hard for the money.
So hard for it, honey.
And so you better treat me right.
Is it Michelle's doing the lyrics? Or not? Yeah.
Chris Sawyer, we were able to con you back to coming on the show.
I enjoy it every time.
Ben gave you
a
basket
full of
money.
I'm a hell of a liar, too.
iPad's got a pile of graphs.
I only show up when Eric's here.
I have a stalker.
I do. That's right.
You're working on a new project
yes,
of your own.
Yes, thevirtualdriver.com.
And what does this entail?
Lots of hard work. Actually, it's going to be...
Are you using Blogger for the...
GeoCities.
Actually, I'm going all the way back to eWorld.
Ooh.
You know, the original AOL for Mac.
I'm going to type that in Alta Vista and see if I can find it.
A virtual driver?
Yeah.
There is a site up on Squarespace at the moment. It's the prototype site that we're working on.
Oh, you're going through the Squarespace hell?
Yeah, we're going through Squarespace hell because it is what it is.
Steaming.
We're familiar with it is the deal right now.
But, as I tell Craig, still better than WordPress.
WordPress.
Well,
was,
it depends.
Was the previous site.
It depends who's designing the site.
Right.
It's better to design, but not as good a blogging format. That's my position.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I will give you that. But we're working on it right now. We're going to do more than reviews. We'll do technology. We'll do just about. Anything for money? No.
Anything?
Anything.
Except
Nick Lamp Dance. No, I knew you were going to.
Can you supersize that?
Yeah, supersize. Yeah. That's, ooh. Then a hefty teenager comes out of there. Oh, Lord.
Hefty teenager, the verbiage there.
Hefty.
With force flex, right?
Wimpy. Oh, sorry. But we hope to have that up in July.
Okay.
The earlier the better.
TheVirtualDriver.com. Now, who are you bringing together? Some well-known names in the business.
I don't know about well-known names.
From the B-Squad, at least.
We're bringing in Al Vinokur, who will have people just peeing themselves with laughter. Hopefully you get sponsorship from Depends.
Well, he uses those. So,
he probably does.
And
he's old enough.
Don't they make blood glucose meters, too?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And we hope to get sponsors from the Sheep Council of America just because Al loves them in the biblical sense. We're Tom Lankard, who used to be the National Affairs Editor for AutoWeek. He was Jerry Brown's head of the Department of Transportation in California. He's a ex-motorcycle racer and a hell of
Very
a driver
nice.
On top of it all. Yeah. His wife, Ann Job, may be joining us occasionally. I'm going to be doing most of the work because this is until we get advertising and things like that, this is going to be a non-pay site for those of us who work for it. So please. Dan Brockstein is my tech guru, and he's been doing this since – Oh, God, when did the earth cool?
87, really, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great. TheVirtualDriver.com. And we've asked Vinokur on the show, and he said he would come on roundabout. You're going to have to put the screws to him. Well, maybe not screw.
Time I use the word screw around Al, he just gets really excited, and I have to calm him down.
I can't imagine him excited. But, yes, Chris Sawyer, thank you again for coming on the show.
Enjoyed
Always it. Always a pleasure. Last but not least, we've got to thank Colonel Slanders.
Yay!
For doing the technical stuff here.
Absolutely.
The podcast. We always appreciate it, Ben. Thank you for your efforts. Anyway, wrapping things up, remember you can always watch Roundabout Live every Friday evening starting at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 3:30 on the West Coast. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Autoline family of fine programs, including Autoline Detroit, Autoline After Hours, and, of course, 5 days a week, Autoline Daily. If you got a question or comment for us, please get in touch with us on our Google Voice number. The hotline you can call us on is 1-559-ROAB-411 in numbers. That is 1-559-762-2411. Give us a shout. We love to hear from you. Additionally, we are on Twitter, twitter.com/roundaboutshow, or Facebook. You can Facebook us. predictably, it is facebook.com/roundaboutshow. If you can't find it otherwise, just search. We are there. You shouldn't have any trouble. Give us a like, please. We want you to like us. Like early, like often. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who wouldn't, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or the Zune Marketplace. If you have a Microsoft Zune, right?
It still exists.
Yes, it does. And anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We will talk to you then.
Wish I were dead.
Stephen Ewing made it in the program. And that's
Kill
the show,
me
folks.
Now.
Okie dokie.